Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
How can your organization benefit from KBS leaders? KBS Interim Executive and Leadership Consulting has more than 120 years of award-winning experience. The dream team at KBS Leaders brings diverse expertise to address the unique challenges and concerns of any organization. KBS Leaders can fill a vacant position, create a strategy, or enhance the effectiveness of leaders or a team. Led by Kim Brown Sims, KBS Leaders creates and transforms leaders of any type of organization, resulting in a more compassionate, collaborative, and focused workplace. Visit kbsleaders.com to learn more. Schedule a consultation to achieve the unimaginable.
Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty has an amazing team of locally experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications necessary to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate related matters. Visit GatesEstatesSIR.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888. DRE number 01874685.
It's time for All Things Napa with your host, Lee W. Miller, a community leader, full-time realtor, and a serial networker passionate about promoting local businesses. Let's learn what's new in the Napa business scene today.
Good morning, Napa Valley. I am Lee W. Miller. Welcome to All Things Napa, the show designed to promote local businesses by letting you, the audience, get to know our business guests on a personal and a professional level. And again, I am Lee W. Miller. Coming up today, we've got Clay Brandle, the general manager of Napa Valley Bistro, and Susan Hyken, a landscape architect from Studio 1515. And I welcome your feedback and suggestions for other guests on the show. But quick shout out before we get talking to Susan, because she's got someplace that she needs to go. So we're very fortunate to have her because she's busy and important. So
thanks,
quick
Lee.
Shout out. A couple of events that I want to make sure that our listeners know about. There's a business mixer from hosted by Napa Business Advantage at Gabrielle Collection on March 10th. That's a week from yesterday. So only 6 days away at Gabrielle Collection Taste Plus right on First Street, right across. Well, it's technically, the address is First Street, but it's technically, no, you know what I mean. It's right across the street from Bounty Hunter. If you have any questions, give me a call, 707-266-1585. I'll make sure that you know where to go for that business mixer. Come for the free wine, stay for business connections, and come ready to buy some raffle tickets to that great event. And also, as I've been plugging for quite some time now, Zero Prostate Cancer Fundraiser on April 25th at the Napa Valley Distillery, 6:30 to 9:30. You'll be hearing more about that every single show because that's a very important thing. Wow, TikTok, time is flying by already. I just wanted to do a real quick Napa nugget, and then we will start talking to Susan. So the Napa Nugget of today, I think, is one of the most interesting ones that I've done. Did you know that the first vintage of Screaming Eagle, which would become the most expensive and sought-after wine in Napa Valley history, was released in 1992? That wine was sold at $75 per bottle that year, and now it costs over $7,000 per bottle, and that is if you can even manage to get on the buying list, because there's currently a 10-year wait. So who knows what it's going to be another 10 years from now, but isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, if I had a $7,000 bottle of wine, I don't think I would drink it.
Yeah.
That's, you know,
a lot of pressure.
That's a big chunk of, you know, yeah, a car or a house or what have you. So, well, welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Lee. Thanks for having me on.
I'm so glad. You know, we've been back and forth trying to get you on, and now here you are, and I'm happy to have you. Tell us a little bit about your affinity to Napa Valley, since this is all things Napa.
Of course. I'm happy to. I have lived and worked in Napa since 2002. I'm from Orange County originally and came up to the Bay Area for college many years ago and did not follow a linear path to my landscape architecture career. So various things brought me to Napa in 2002, but I have had my children here. They're currently at Vintage High School, so we're coming to the end of Napa Unified School District years, which have been great. And I just love this community. I can't really imagine living anywhere else. The natural beauty, the people are really special and unique and very giving. And it's just been a wonderful place for me. And now I'm at a place in my life where I want to give back to my community. So I plan on being here for a long time and just love it.
Great. You know, I never grow tired of hearing what a aesthetically beautiful community this is, but everyone that talks about this community and lives here talks about the people and mm-hmm. how warm and inviting and welcoming. There's such a spirit of philanthropy yes. in this community.
Yes.
And I think that that's always there, and it really rises to the occasion when we have a crisis, whether it be the fires or mm-hmm. earthquakes or whatever. But it's hard to explain it to somebody else. They go, yeah, you say that because you live here.
Right.
But no, it's really, really different.
It is really different. And I've lived all over the Bay Area and other beautiful places too, but this is unique.
Right. So I don't mind repeating that seemingly with every guest, because we need to be reminded of that, because, you know, we ebb and flow in life, and sometimes we forget how great we have it here.
Right.
So there you go. So there's your little reminder, listeners. So you said that it wasn't necessarily a linear path to landscape architecture.
True.
Do we want to just leave that there and jump into landscape architecture?
Yeah, why don't we do that? It's too long. If anybody wants more info, I'm happy to talk. But, you know, it's too long.
All right.
I'd rather talk about what I'm doing now.
And we can add executive producer to your title, executive producer of this show, because you just made an executive decision. Yeah, just, yeah. It's not radio worthy. And that's great. So landscape architecture is not like a gardener. It's not, I mean, tell us what that consists of.
Sure. Okay. A lot of people don't know really what we do. And if you're not a developer, it wouldn't be part of your regular everyday world. So landscape architects go through rigorous education requirements similar to architecture. Not obviously we're not building buildings, but we do have in our scope of work a lot of construction details, and much of what we do is related to life safety issues in the exterior world. So there is a lot of education required, and then rigorous exams similar to engineers, probably the most similar field. Well, no, I probably shouldn't say that. Anyway, we're unique. So we go through licensing exams that are very difficult and expensive. And what sets us apart from what people think of as garden design, because we do also do garden design, is we do a lot of grading, drainage, site issues that may not necessarily fall into the civil engineer's scope or the architect's scope. And as we are doing that, we're taking into consideration the planting design, the irrigation, the orientation of the site, how the outdoor spaces are going to be used, circulation, parking, gathering spaces, what's the program for the space? Is it an event space? Is it meant for weddings? Is it for an outdoor kitchen? Is it, you know, so we're taking all of that into account. Much of what we do is time spent coordinating with the architect's work so that the outdoor spaces complement the architecture, and also working with the civil engineers, because now in this current day, there's a lot of regulations around stormwater treatment and management.
Yeah, I was thinking when you said grading, that's why probably the most, from my perspective anyway, the most important reason why the education requirements are so strict and so high, because the actual construction of the building won't hold up unless that foundation of the grading, you know, to prevent mudslides and
right.
water runoff that's not going where it's supposed to, and
correct.
All of those things are going to not withstand the, you know, it's
right.
going to all fail.
Well, right.
if
and,
you don't do
and
that part
right.
people
want it to look nice too.
Right.
And
right.
so we bring all of those things together.
Right, but it's
yeah.
not just the aesthetics.
That's
that,
correct.
Yeah, correct.
That is correct.
It has
and,
to be that.
And you bring up a great point that I was thinking about as I was
not very eloquently, but thank you for that. I brought it up,
well,
but I couldn't exactly communicate it very well.
So what landscape architects do, and garden designers can do this too, but, and you know, there is a place for all of us, right? Your property may not need our skill set. So a garden designer could be perfect for you. Like for my home, which is very modest, you know, basic subdivision home, I would not need a landscape architect to do my front yard or my backyard necessarily. I mean, you can, of course, but
that's interesting to me because I know your house as I'm your realtor.
And you did a fine job.
Thank you. Checks in the mail.
Yeah.
But you're not on a completely level.
No, that's true.
You know, so
that's true.
Okay.
I mean, I don't mean to, you know, give away work, but I'm just, I don't believe in selling my services to somebody if it's overkill for what they need.
Right.
And having said that, there are sites, particularly in the county, that really do warrant the services of a landscape architect to do the site planning and, you know, figure out where the spaces make the most
right.
sense and all of that. But landscape now, and especially for large parcels, do a lot of work for the property owner. Fire-wise, huge issue for us, obviously. And
sure.
this is a great time of year if you do own a parcel that's in a fire hazard area and you haven't dealt with your defensible space. This is a great time of year to be thinking about that because it takes time to plan and to get installed and all of that. And it is a very important level of defense for fire safety.
Yeah, and you're not talking about, you know, those weeds, mow them. You're talking about incorporating some landscape design that
correct.
Will serve both as fire protection and, you know, increased enhanced beauty to
that's
your
right.
to your property.
Right. And, you know, stormwater runoff, also very important. So correct landscape design is really beneficial.
Great.
Yeah.
So Studio 1515 is part of RSA. Talk about that relationship.
Yes. So Studio 1515 is relatively new. We launched a little less than 2 years ago. And as I said, I've
interesting been... name because you're not like recording rock stars in the studio.
I know.
I don't have
a good story. I need to come
okay.
up with a really good story
right.
for so how there, we came to that name.
Another
like
executive
it,
decision.
So.
Skip that. There is no great origin of the
no,
name.
No, not yet.
Okay.
I will keep you posted.
Okay. Well, just make something up and then you come back.
Yeah. I will. Okay.
Okay.
I should have been better prepared. anyway, I had done numerous projects with the RSA Plus team over the years since 2002. And when I decided to make a change a couple years ago, we talked together about partnering and joining our forces because of there is so much overlap, and not overlap, but coordination needed between civil engineer work and landscape architecture work. And we felt that it would be a great benefit to clients to have us under, you know, one umbrella. So that's how Studio 1515 came to be. RSA Plus has been in Napa for 40 years. They opened in 1980, which I realized this morning. So that's a nice long stretch. They have a long history of doing great projects throughout the valley. And they're very active in the community, which I loved about them. And I continue, I mean, it's just been a great, great partnership. So they offer complete survey services, civil engineering services. We also have Napa Reprographics, which does large format printing. So for like construction documents, things like that. And then Studio 1515 for landscape architecture, and Lynn Design Studio, which is graphic design.
Okay.
So we have a whole family of services. Studio 1515 is located about a block away from the main RSA Plus campus, which they're located right behind ABC Bakery. A lot of people drive by. They're really cute houses. And when I tell people, yeah, that's where we are, they go, oh, I always wondered what was that little complex of cute buildings?
Right.
Well, that's RSA. And then about a block east, down 4th Street, right next to Community Projects, is where Studio 1515 is located.
I saw a tractor in your driveway today.
Yeah, we're redoing our front yard and our driveway. We did the plans. So drive
by, take a
look. I hope
you didn't contract that out.
Well, we're not doing the installation. We don't do installation. But we're there, you know, watching it go in, which is exciting.
Good.
Yeah.
So I know that you have a special designation that is pretty rare, Certified Access Specialist.
Yes.
What the heck is that?
So that is relatively new, so you will not see it on our website quite yet. It's being updated.
It's a new thing in general or
no,
new thing to
It's new thing
you?
To me.
Okay.
A Certified Access Specialist is a credential that's issued by the Division of the State Architect. And what that is it means that you have taken exams and been certified as a specialist in construction-related accessibility compliance. So things like ADA parking spaces, ADA restrooms, accessible routes inside and outside the building, communication accessibility features like visual fire alarms for the visually impaired, things like that. So it encompasses architecture, landscape architecture, all of the exterior routes for places of public accommodation, so for public serving places. There are less than, this all went into place, I think it was 2008 when the program first started, and it's really only become more well-known in recent years. The state of California now, since 2017, has language requiring a CASP report on any commercial lease. It's also gotten on the radar of public agencies and developers as public agencies. Now, it is to your advantage to have plans reviewed by a CASP before you submit them if you're developing a project. Public agencies are supposed to have a CASP on staff to do plan review. Often they don't, so they have to contract that out. There are less than 1,000 CASPs throughout the state of California, and I have been told that I am the 5th landscape architect CASP.
Oh, interesting.
It's usually
I just assumed that all CASPs would be landscape architects.
No, it's more common for an architect.
Okay.
Or architect, civil engineer, building official.
For that the interior stuff that you talked about, but as a landscape architect, you're addressing the CASP from the outside.
No, there's only one certification, so you have to know it all.
The specific issues that are outside that were probably more pertain to you.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes, but I am certified for everything. inside and outside.
Less than 1,000 in the whole state.
Yeah. So there is a huge shortage.
It doesn't sound like it, but I, you know, but then again, when you think about every single municipality and all of the plans being submitted for new buildings that are going to be erected, and who's going to review all of those to make sure that they meet that criteria, there's opportunity there.
Right. And where the main thing that CASPs do actually is inspections of existing facilities.
Oh, not necessarily.
Maybe I shouldn't say the main thing.
In the permit stage, it's actually going out now and saying all the things that were done wrong in previous constructions, and you make the recommendation to get CASP certified as a commercial property. You need to make these alterations.
So it's a little more complicated than that.
That sounded pretty complicated.
All
even
of this accessibility stuff. So
it's even
let's say you own a a restaurant or a hotel or something, and you want to make sure that you're in compliance, or you're concerned that you're going to have a lawsuit brought against you because you think maybe some things aren't up to code. So then a CASP would come out, do a site inspection, prepare a report for you. They review the history of your property because it's not necessarily current code that applies to your property if it was built, if it's an older facility, for example. So they prepare this report for you, prepared per these particular standards that CASP know to follow. And then you have to develop a schedule to make these corrections. And you receive an inspection certificate. It doesn't mean that you comply, but it means that you've been inspected by a CASP. And if following all of that, you are a lawsuit is brought against you, you have some legal protections because you've done this proactive step.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So that is the advantage, and that's why it's in. You know, that's why it's really more relevant to people who own or lease commercial properties.
Okay. Very interesting. There's so much that we don't know about so many professions, and that's one of the interesting things about this show is I venture to say almost everybody listening had no idea that there was a certified access specialist credential, mm-hmm. and that it is part of architecture and even landscape architecture. So.
Yeah.
Susan Hyken, Studio 1515, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Lee.
We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty has an amazing team of locally experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications necessary to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate related matters. Visit GatesEstatesSIR.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888. DRE number 01874685.
All right. All Things Napa is back. And that was interesting talking to Susan. There's just so much that we don't know about certain professions. I'm always fascinated to learn what other people do for a living and all the designations and the requirements that it entails. So Now it is time to talk to our friend Clay Brandle. Welcome, Clay.
Thanks, Lee.
Clay is the general manager of Napa Valley Bistro, one of our fine dining establishments downtown Napa on Pearl Street, right?
Clinton.
Yep. Okay.
975 Clinton, basically on the corner of Main and Clinton Street, right next to Pizza Zero.
Okay. And I was just there last night and about a month ago, and I really enjoy just the whole vibe there. Also, I should mention that Lauren is joining us in studio.
Hey, good morning, Lee. It's so great to be with you again. I can't tell you how much this means to me. Well, our first time on the radio together.
So we've done TV, and now we've done radio.
Well, in this case, Lee, in regards to TV, very little experience.
Right, right. And I've got more of a face for radio anyway, so I feel more comfortable here. So
I hear you.
All right, so tell us about your affinity to Napa, because you know that's kind of how we start, because this is all things Napa. So,
well, I was born and raised in St. Helena, so I've been a Napa native my entire life. Graduated St. Helena High 2006, then started working at Martini House, which is what Goose and Gander is now. Kind of got my foot in the door in the restaurant industry there. Very quickly began to love the fast-paced nature of the industry, which is what drew me into it. Then moved out to Vail in Colorado for 4 years, still studying wine and fine dining, which then led me to another position in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Kind of always been interested in wine and kind of never really knew how much I knew about it until I left the Mecca of wine and started, you know, listening to other people that don't do it every single, you know, eat, breathe, sleep wine. Kind of realized that I had an affinity for wine, and that's what really drew me into it.
That's interesting that you kind of discovered that affinity outside of where you are. But interesting also that all of that work experience in food and beverage was in resort communities.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the resort communities all have a larger profile for wine and fine dining, and that's definitely where I want to be.
So you say you've got an affinity for wine and the food and beverage business. What is it that you like about it?
No day is ever the same. There's always, there's always a curveball. There's always something different. And it keeps you on your toes. You never get bored.
Yeah. You know, I've often said that it would be a great blessing for our society if every single man, woman, and child, as they were growing up, was required to work in food and beverage for at least a year. Can you imagine how much more polite patrons in dining rooms would be if they've been there, done that? I just think that would be so beneficial.
I absolutely agree with you on that one.
All right, so if I ever become king, which is not likely, but, I'll keep suggesting it. You know, people talk about, armed services, then there's benefit for that as well, too. But I saw the smile come across your face like you'd never heard that suggestion that everybody work in F&B for.
I've heard of it, but I've never heard anybody proclaim themselves king and impose it. So I'd appreciate that if you can do that.
Yeah, well, okay, I'm working on it, so. So talk about Napa Valley Bistro. How long have you been there? And you're the general manager now, right?
Yeah. So I've been there for about 9 months. We've been open for almost 8 years now. We've got our two co-owners, Ernesto Martinez and Bernardo Ayala. Ernesto is also the co-owner of Market up in St. Helena. So we've kind of got a little sister restaurant relationship going on there. So we've been open for about 8 years. We definitely focus on locality, seasonal ingredients. We change our menu up for spring, summer, fall, winter. Always focusing on local ingredients, fresh ingredients, and supporting local farmers. We've paired with the Vintners Collective, which is just right around the corner of us, for a private dining experience where Chef Bernardo can create a custom menu for a sit-down private dining experience that we then pair with the award-winning wine list from the Vintners Collective. We also take large parties in-house, so next time you're looking for a birthday or big get-together, give us a call.
That's interesting. And I love the mutual benefiting relationships between other downtown merchants. You know, that collaboration, that's the word I was looking for, that it just makes so much sense to do something with Vintners Collective that they're right there across the street from you.
Yeah, and, you know, pairing up with the local businesses is definitely something that I like to do. A lot of the wines on the wine list are from the tasting rooms that are just a rock throw away from us. You know, we've got the Mario Bazan Cellars right across the street, Vintners Collective, Stonehenge, kind of always looking for new tasting rooms and supporting other local businesses that in turn can support us.
Yep. Keep those tax dollars and, you know, just all of those dollars right here in our community. We're talking to Clay Brandel, the general manager of Napa Valley Bistro. You know, the other thing that I think is unique about your restaurant is no corkage fees.
That is true. The first bottle is free, and then it's $15 a bottle after that. So always a good thing to bring in your own bottle, save a couple bucks, makes right. Date night a lot more affordable for the locals. And then obviously if you have some friends in town visiting, send them out to your favorite winery, let them know to pick up a bottle of their favorite wine, and then bring it and drink it at our restaurant for free.
Yep, there you go. And, you know, some restaurants have a one night a week or something like that, but just any time you go into Napa Valley Bistro, it's no corkage for the first bottle.
That is true, except for Mondays when we're closed.
Yeah, you'll pay more than a corkage fee if you're in there on a Monday.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to be. So what's your favorite dish on your menu? And I kind of get the sense that it probably changes periodically because of seasons and wanting to keep everything fresh and organic and sustainable.
That is true, but that's also one of the hardest questions to answer because I eat off that menu 2-3 times a day and haven't gotten tired of anything yet.
Right.
I mean, I absolutely love the spicy wild Mexican shrimp, but fair warning, there's quite a bit of kick in them if you're not a fan of the spicy, definitely not for you.
I can't handle that.
But I am a fan of the spice, and they've definitely got some kick to them. On the entree side, I'm a sucker for our filet mignon, as well as the Cabernet braised lamb shank. It's a slow roasted cab braised lamb shank that if you pick it up too fast, you're just going to be looking at a dry bone. I honestly don't know how Bernardo makes everything on that menu so amazing, because I feel like every time a table asks me what my favorite thing is, I feel like I just explain the entire menu to them.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that's a common question that patrons ask of servers. What do you like? And it's just so hard to answer that because and sometimes people say, what don't you like on that? And that's like really backing the server into a corner.
It's a much shorter list. It consists of nothing.
Right. And, you know, they're going to get in trouble either way, you know, because if they say, you know, I don't like such and such, and then somebody else says, well, that's what I was thinking about ordering. You know, now where do you go with that? So that's tough. So, Clay, you started in St. Helena.
Mm-hmm.
Did you start like busing, or were you right?
I actually started off as a buffer. So for 6 hours a day, I would stand at the bottom of the stairs and do nothing but buff glasses and silverware. Then from there,
that's with two F's, as in Frank, not
yes.
Busser.
Yes, a buffer.
All you did was polish stuff, glasses and silverware.
Glasses and silverware. Servers would come through, say, "Hey Clay, we're getting low on spoons. I need some, or I need some more Burgundy glasses. I need more Bordeaux. I need flutes. I need water glasses."
No wonder you fell in love with the industry. You were,
still in high school. Had the fast paced lifestyle of the industry. And, you know, then from buffing, got my foot in the door at the restaurant, and then got promoted to busser with the S, not the F. And then, you know, that's kind of where I started getting more into the industry and really starting to love it, because I was actually talking to humans instead of just the servers coming down and demanding things. So it's kind of fun to have a little interaction with other people. And then that's where the days started to really switch up, you know. 6 hours at the bottom of the stairs buffing glasses gets pretty repetitive, but when you go out and start talking to people, every day is different. That's definitely something that I like about it.
Do you remember the first time that they tipped you out and you were like, what? I get money for this? Or did you know that you were going to get tipped as a busser?
I knew that I was going to get tipped. I did not know that I was going to get tipped as much as I did that first time.
Right.
So that was a pleasant surprise and also another draw into the world of fine dining.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I was, oh, before I forget, I got to do a little shout out to Vanessa and Christine. That's who served us last night because we sat at the bar. And I erroneously referred to somebody named Angela. And so you do have an Angela there. She's just not on the payroll, and you'll never see her. But she's in the restaurant somewhere.
The mysterious employee.
So it was fun talking to the girls last night. And one of the things I really enjoyed last night is the people that sat next to us. It kind of felt like a Cheers environment where we just, you know, struck up a conversation, and my wife and I made a new friend, Sarah, and she's going to come to the Napa Business Advantage Mixer next Tuesday. And just, you know, stuff like that that is part and parcel to a lot of restaurants here in Napa. But then there's a lot that just don't have that friendly vibe. They're, I don't know, maybe they're trying to be too formal or whatever, but it wouldn't lend itself to just meeting somebody like that. Is that a planned atmosphere that you intend to instill at Bistro?
I mean, I definitely plan on keeping it going. You know, I hear stories similar to that all the time of, you know, two locals sitting down next to each other, striking up a conversation, realizing that they've got a lot in common. Actually, I think last week I saw two people sit down next to the bar, similar to your experience last night. And by the time that they left, one of the couples asked me if they were coming in the next week, had a reservation for 6, and they asked if they could make it for 8 because their new friends at the bar were going to join them.
Nice.
So there definitely is a sense of community and a sense of locality that we thrive on and try and instill in the restaurant. So I love hearing stories like that, which means that it's working.
Yeah. Yeah. What are some of your most popular desserts that you serve?
The butterscotch pudding is definitely my favorite, but I would have to say that the gluten-free chocolate cake is probably the best gluten-free anything I've ever eaten.
My wife's gluten-free, and she didn't know that. And the other funny thing about last night is my wife and Sarah, our new friend, were ordering basically the same things. They were influencing each other. Okay, that sounds good.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of, I'd say almost a cult following for a couple of the items, like the fish and chips, the fried
chicken. That's what I had
chicken.
Last night, yeah.
I mean, at least once every day, I get a table of 3, 4, 5 locals that come in, and everybody gets the fish and chips, or everybody gets the fried chicken. Definitely a large following for a lot of the dishes.
Right.
Locals love them.
So the butterscotch pudding is a favorite. And I know that Bistro Giovanni has a really good butterscotch pudding. And I think Cole's Chop House does as well. So I don't think I remember ever even seeing it on a menu before I moved to Napa. So I don't know if certain desserts are cyclical like that. I mean, you know, like back in our day, I'm obviously much older than you. We had Jamaican bananas, I think that's, or you know, it was a flambé. And that was back in the days of having steak Diane that were, you know, cooked right tableside and things. Cherry's Jubilee, does that ring a bell?
Rings a bell, but I don't think I could describe it for you.
Okay. Yeah, no, I can't. I mean, that was a long time ago, too. That was over 35 years ago when I served my, did my public service time as in food and beverage. So, and I, you know, the funny thing is I never worked a dining room either. I was always room service. And that's a completely different animal, but it still gave me that appreciation for taking good care of clients and, learning patience when they're being completely unreasonable and irrational and just having to placate and, you know, toe the company line kind of thing, and try and view that as a challenge to turn them around and try and make them leave happy.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly how you have to look at it in order to succeed. Because if every single one of those challenges, if you let it get the better of you, then no one's going to leave happy. And that's what I'm here to do, make everybody leave happy.
Right. So the other thing I remember from my time in that business is all of the chaos that exists back of the house. And then you come out and everything's fine. Nobody's aware of anything. And it's almost a metaphor for how oftentimes we need to lead our lives, because we all have problems and challenges and things. And then, you know, got to put on our big boy pants and go out there and go to our job and put those things aside and put on a good face and everything. And that's big part of the restaurant business on a daily basis, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'd say kind of controlled chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always moving pieces, and, you know, no matter how much you plan for any night, you get a curveball thrown at you and you have to adapt to it. Sometimes that can kind of throw you off your game. And, you know, like you said, in the back, you might be making a little bit of a mean face, but then the second you walk through those doors, it's all smiles and back on your A-game.
Yeah, and having arguments with other employees, and you just put it aside. I think that's fascinating, that whole aspect of it. And it's not to say that only exists in food and beverage, but I think probably that drastic contrast of, okay, I got to put this aside now and smile, happens way more in that than it does, say, in an office environment or, you know, things of that nature.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, you can't really wear your heart on your sleeve. And, you know, if you have a bad day outside of work, I guess the hustle and bustle of the industry is kind of nice for me. You know, if you do have a bad day, it's so mentally demanding that it kind of takes your mind off it for the entirety of the shift.
Right.
So kind of almost soothing in a sense.
You know, I just remembered you are offering a lunch for two. So Clay Brandle, GM of Napa Valley Bistro, why don't we say the third person to email me at leewmiller@gmail.com will be awarded that lunch for two. And then you can go check out firsthand at no cost to you. Of course, that excludes alcohol, and it excludes gratuity. So
that is correct.
So let's see how many emails we get. And then now people are trying to time, do I send it now or do I wait? How long is it going to take to be that third one? So
a little bit of a guessing game.
Yeah. we don't take calls on this show, but we do take emails, and that should be a fun one. So leewmiller@gmail.com. Email me for your chance to win lunch for two at Bistro or Napa Valley Bistro. You also do catering, right?
Yes, we do. We've got a couple different packages, seasonal menus. We've got a spring banquet package, summer, winter, fall, all revolving around the seasonality of the food. We've got some different packages ranging from $45 a person all the way up to $85. I guess that's for in-house banquets. And then for off-site catering, we can do anything from past appetizers to buffets to a full sit-down catered meal. We've got a pretty large kitchen and front-of-the-house staff that we can pull from. I think the biggest event that we've done in the last couple of years has been about 250, 300 people. I'm already in the works of doing a 110 person coming up on March 28th. So we've got really, really fun availability for all sorts of catering events.
Very cool. Very cool. Tell us the address again.
975 Clinton Street.
All right. So you've just enjoyed listening to Clay Brandle, the general manager. I encourage you to go pop in, have lunch, have dinner, and say, hey, I want to talk to that Clay guy that I heard on the radio, and tell him that I heard the interview, and that's what made them come in. So
yeah, I'd absolutely love to hear that somebody came in because of the interview.
Yeah, well, that's what this show is all about, is to promote. Oh, I just got an email. Now I'm totally distracted. So, Clay, thank you very much for being here. Lauren, thank you very much for being here. Lauren, do you have a question for Clay? Anything about Napa Valley Bistro?
Oh, I've actually been to Napa Valley Bistro a few years ago. The food and service was excellent.
Wonderful. That's what I like to hear.
Yep. We always love those affirmations. Thanks very much for being here. I'm going to jump right into the real estate minute, and then we will be wrapping up. Did things a little bit out of order today. The real estate minute today is my proud announcement that I am hanging my license at Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty. I had previously been with another franchise of Sotheby's, and now I am with one that I think is going to suit me, my personality, and the small kind of friends and family nature of the brokerage. I spent 36 years in the corporate world, and I've had enough of that whole corporate vibe, and it just doesn't seem to mesh well with Napa Valley. We're not a corporate, you know, centric community. And so that's why I made the change. I'm excited for what's going to be coming with my real estate career. And I'm still really happy doing this this show, too. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We will talk to you next week. Don't forget about the events that I kind of did the shout-outs for. And one more shout-out to Vanessa and Christina, too. So is it Christine or Christina?
Christina.
Okay. Yeah. I know so many Christine and Christinas. It's like literally six of them.
What's even funnier is that the computer cuts off that only has a certain amount of digits for the name or the server name on the check.
Making it even more.
Christina's name does get the A cut off of it, and it's just Kristen.
Very interesting there. All right, so Napa Business Advantage, our business referral group. If you know a business that wants to grow, give me a shout about that as well. And until next time, remember to live your life every day as if your legacy matters, because it absolutely does. Talk to you next week.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.